Yeah, glad to be in the house of the Lord here this morning. Praise the Lord. It's so good to see everybody. So good to have new faces with us again today and pretty much all the time. We just welcome you to Family Church. For those of you that are visiting, my name is Pastor Tim Stallman. I'm the senior pastor here. And we're just thrilled that and honored that you would be with us here today on this gorgeous spring Sunday morning. Amen. Amen. Praise God. We just love you, care about you. Please know you're not just a face in the crowd here or trying to fill seats. You have a divine destiny with Almighty God. We want to help you get into that plan that God has for your life, a plan to bless you, a plan to prosper you. Glory to God. Isn't that what the Bible says? Jeremiah 29:11, it says, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans not to harm you but to prosper you, to give you hope and a future. Praise the Lord. God's got good things for you today. We just want to encourage you. We want to just praise God and give God all the glory, and we just are so grateful for all that He's doing in our midst. Amen. Praise the Lord. Do you have your Bibles here today? Hallelujah. I mean, you know it's good to laugh in church. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. If you got your Bibles, we're going to go over to James chapter 1. Hallelujah. You know, isn't it good that that's normal around here? The power of God. I'll tell you what, so many Christians, they go to church so pickled face, soured up. Hallelujah. I was wondering what all you were so concerned about. I'm just saying, what? That's normal. But I had to say something, not for my sake, but for some folks. Wait. Somebody's happy somewhere. Quick, let's see if we can dry it up with a dirty look. I just thought it was business as usual. Joy, you know. What is business as usual for God? Joy. What is business as usual for God? Peace. You know, you're going to be walking through the streets of heaven someday, you know, and there'll be people that'll be, you know, in the streets just laughing, filled with joy, and you'll be walking along talking with Moses or King David or somebody. And there'll be days it'll be you just rejoicing in God, and people will just, amen. How many of you know the Bible says that God wants times of heaven on earth? Times of heaven on earth. Do you think heaven is a place of sanctimonious religion? Is that the image that you have of God and where it is? I'll tell you, maybe centuries of tradition have given you that picture. But I tell you what, you better renew your mind. You better break out of the box. You better start realizing and believing that God has joy unspeakable for you and full of glory. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Where did I tell you to go? James chapter 1. Well, if we're permitted to do so, we're going to continue with the regularly scheduled programming. When I say permitted, I don't mean by a person. I mean, you know, there's just a good unction in here. We could go 1,000 different directions, and we're going to be open to the Spirit of God. I'm not just going to preach off my notes or anything, you know, for the sake of that's what I prepared. I'm going to yield to the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Well, let's just see where the Spirit of God takes us here today. I'm going to call this message, at least I'm going to attempt to. I'm going to call this message the foundations of prosperity. Amen. Oh, and people hear that word prosperity spoken in church, they instantly start getting nervous because they think that so many ministries and in so many places have used that word to try to denigrate ministers, you know. They hear the word prosperity and they think of a minister who's trying to fleece people out of their money. Well, today's message isn't going to be what you think, because we're going to get to the heart of prosperity. And just because you've seen goofiness on Christian TV, don't try to lump this church into stuff like that, because we're going to rightfully divide the word. Hallelujah. But we got to answer the question, does God want us to prosper? Amen. The answer to that question is yes. Amen. But does God want us to be selfish? The answer to that question is no, right? And so we're going to just, but you're going to be surprised. This message actually, at least I'm not, that I'm aware of, planning on teaching a message on tithing and things, though it may be mentioned, all right? But, you know, we have to understand this, that prosperity is so far beyond money. It's so far beyond money, though it does include financial prosperity. But we're going to talk about the foundations of what true prosperity is.
Amen.
Amen. And this isn't going to be just a giving message or a tithing message or really even a message about money. It's going to be a message about your heart.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. You're in James chapter 1. We're going to get over there in a few minutes. But I just want to answer the question here before we start. Does God want us to prosper? Because there's so many believers out there that have been, they have swallowed the poison of religion, and they believe that God doesn't want them to prosper financially. They believe that God would prefer you poor. God would prefer you just miserable and without anything. But let's see what the Bible has to say. Because you can adopt your traditions and your religion, but at the end of the day, it's the Bible that's going to matter. Hallelujah. So I'm just going to run us through several scriptures. I'm just going to read them. We're not going to turn to them for the sake of time. Hallelujah. We're just going to bring them up on the screen. We're going to read them. You can take the scriptural reference. Do your studying at home. Amen. Hallelujah. All right, here we go. How about Deuteronomy 8:18? It says, "But you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He, the Lord, that gives you power to get wealth." Oh, I thought God gave us the power to get poor and to drive us into the dirt and make us humble, right? "That He may establish His covenant, His promise, which He sware unto thy fathers as it is this day." How about Deuteronomy 28, verse 11 and 12? "The Lord shall make you plenteous in goods." The Lord shall. The Lord shall. "In the fruit of your body, the fruit of your cattle, the fruit of your ground, in the land which the Lord sware unto thee, to your fathers to give thee, the Lord shall open unto thee His good treasure, the heaven to give the rain unto your land in its season, and to bless the work of your hands. You shall lend unto many nations, and you shall not borrow."
Amen.
What's going to happen in our lives when we're the lender and not the borrower? The lender. People say, "I got to go to the bank." Well, what happened when God said, "I want you to be the bank"? Oh, if this is upsetting your religious mind, this isn't Family Church's translation of the Bible. I'm just reading you scripture. Let's see what King David had to say over there in 1 Chronicles 29, verse 11. This is when David was dedicating the temple and he's praying. He says, "Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power, the glory, the victory, the majesty." Glory to God. That's what God is and what He's done. He's the greatness, the power, the glory, the victory, the majesty. "For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head above all." Verse 12, "Both riches and honor come from you, God."
That's right.
Riches and honor come from where? God. All right. But is there people in this world that are rich without God? They're rich financially. But that's not the definition of prosperity. Don't you get confused. There's people that can have riches, but they don't have honor. Yeah, amen. But we see that God does provide riches. All right, how about Psalm chapter 1, right? We could quote, "Blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, right? Nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor seats in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law," or in the word of God, "does he meditate day and night." What happens when you meditate in the word day and night? Verse 3. "And you shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper."
Amen.
Glory to God. How about Psalm 35, 27, right? Quote this all the time. "Let them shout for joy and be glad," right? "Let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified," which what? has pleasure in the prosperity of his servants. You might as well get excited about that. So, well, I'm not so sure about that. Well, I'm not done. How about Psalm 37:25? David says, I've been young and now I'm old, yet I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor a seed begging bread. It's not right for the people of God to be without. Right? We could quote Psalm 32, he that waits upon the Lord, right, shall lack no good thing. We could quote Psalm 84:11, the Lord is a sun and a shield, and grace and glory shall he give. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. I mean, we could quote so many verses. I'm just giving you a few. Hallelujah. How about Proverbs 10:22? The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he adds no sorrow or... I love that. God adds no sorrow to his people being blessed. No sorrow. Meaning you don't have to feel bad for being blessed. The sorrow, the word sorrow there, there's no guilt. There's no guilt. And people will try to twist the scripture and say, oh my goodness, he's up there and always letting it fly. And we're getting nervous because he's trying to paint us. That Christians should all be billionaires or living rock star lifestyles. I'm not talking about arrogance.
No.
I'm not talking about selfishness. But I am talking, we're just answering the question first right off here, does God want us to prosper? And that answer to that question is an overwhelming yes. The blessing of the Lord, it makes rich. You know, I went into this real deep Hebrew study on that word rich there, and guess what I found out what it means? It means rich. Wow, I tell you what, I got out all the concordances. I just wanted to make sure, okay, we got to make sure to interpret this correctly. Does the blessing of the Lord makes rich? It means to prosper in every way possible. Glory to God. Say, well, you've just given us Old Testament scriptures. Well, I'm going to give you some New Testament scriptures. How about 2 Corinthians 8:9, right? Oh, if there's ever a verse that's going to upset the religious folks, this is it. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty would be made rich.
Right.
Now let's study that word rich there. The word rich there means a full supply. It's not talking about only money. Because we're going to get into that today. If you have money, but all the other parts of your life are falling apart, you're not prospering. Okay? But I just thought we'd start the service today to upset the religious-minded folks, that if for some reason, if there's that shell of religion that is on your mind that thinks that God and money are incompatible, you better break off that shell. It's probably the reason why you're struggling. Is because you don't see God as the source of riches and honor. You don't believe he's given you power to get wealth and promotion. Yeah. See? And people also, they get nervous when they say, he's preaching this just so we give more to the church. Well, of course I am.
Come on.
You better believe I am. I'm not hiding that fact. It's absolutely. Some of you are getting nervous. You should see the look on your faces right now. If that statement upsets you to think about if giving more to God's work gets you nervous, you got a heart problem and you will not prosper. Everyone, you look like, I mean, it looked like Goliath appeared behind me or something. Everyone was like, I think I heard the corporate gasp. If you think it's wrong to give more to the ministry of God, then forget it. You don't qualify. I just tell you, you're gonna, what you see is what you get up here. I'm not trying to hide anything. I live my life, not because I'm a pastor, I'm constantly thinking of new ways to give God more money. I'm constantly thinking of new ways to get out of debt and increase my offerings and to give to more ministers and that travel and to supply things like that. I don't understand people who don't have that heart, because the gospel requires funding all over the world. Some of you are white-knuckling it. If you haven't been around here long enough to get an idea of my sense of humor and things like that, you know, I say sometimes, you know, we go after the big statement to get the big reaction, all right? But you have to understand, I mean, literally speaking now, getting down to seriousness, there's something wrong with someone's heart that gets nervous about giving more to God. But anyway, that's not the purpose of this message here today, per se. But I thought I'd just take a little time to break off that shell. Get out of the box. Stop thinking that prosperity is just something for you to go out and it's just all about yourself and things like that. God has a work to do in this earth. There's souls that need to be saved. You know, outreaches and churches and all these things require funding. Amen. And God wants to use you as the channel, because the gamblers, the casino owners, the cheaters, the stealers, the IRS, and all the else, they are not going to fund God's work in the earth. If he can't fund it through you, then he can't fund it through anyone. And the devil knows it. The devil knows that we are the channels for God's move on this earth. Right? Amen. Hallelujah. Anyway. Go to James chapter 1, and we're going to start in verse 2, and I'm going to show you some more verses from the New Testament. I'm not here just trying to answer that question, does God want us to prosper? I started with that today just to crack through that shell of religious thinking. Because there's people here that, oh my goodness, when I say stuff like that, the thoughts come against them. You need to deal with that internal conversation. You need to get your thought process right. Amen. Yeah, praise God. We have to make sure that we are thinking in line with God's word. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Verse 2, he says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, or literally different kinds of trials and troubles. Not if you fall into trials and troubles, when you fall into trials and troubles. Okay? Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. That word trying there, it also is a word that means working out. The working of your patience. Or working of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect or mature and entire, wanting nothing. The word wanting, you know, you probably have a newer Bible that says lacking nothing. Why would God be telling us how to get to the place of lacking nothing if he didn't want us to get there? Here's God's plan for the New Testament believer. Lacking nothing. That's prosperity. Lacking nothing. Now let's read verse 5. He says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that gives to all men liberally. I like the Amplified, it says, the giving God, who gives all men generously. God is a generous giving God. He loves to give to you. He loves to bless you. He loves to see you lacking nothing.
That's right.
And now it says, he gives to all men liberally, and he upbraideth not. Now you read that in the King James Bible, and that might not make a whole lot of sense to you, meaning that God doesn't chastise you for asking him for wisdom. God isn't mad at you for receiving abundantly at his hands.
Right.
He's not the God that upbraids or holds a grudge because you have something nice or that you ask for wisdom. He gives to all men generously. He upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Now let's slow down here and let's see some things. Because in these scriptures, we're going to see the foundation of prosperity. And this message is going to take a turn, you know, And it's going to be a little bit something different than what you expected. I started out with those scriptures just for the, you know, for the shock value. Because we need to be shocked into the understanding of what God has for our life. You should walk out of here today, take those first 8 verses or whatever I shared with you, and take them before God and be grateful to Him and worship Him and thank Him that He desires that you prosper in this life. Because maybe you didn't know that before. Maybe you didn't think that before. And maybe you've never used your faith in that direction before. Maybe you've never told God, God, you give me power to get wealth. God, your blessing makes me rich or full supplied. Riches and honor comes from you. Amen. Yeah, I dare you to start talking that way, but some of you get so nervous to believe that. Because you think that the world has put you in a box because of your circumstances, whether you're educated or not, whether you're married or not, whether, you know, regardless of what your family history is, regardless of your church background, your ethnicity, you know, whether you grew up in a prosperous home or not, it doesn't matter. Get out of the box. You're not stuck in any kind of form.
That's right.
Where you think, well, I'm a divorced single mom, therefore I can only prosper so high. You know? You better get out of that. Well, you know, I'm almost retirement age. I have nothing saved and everything, you know. I guess, you know, God can't prosper with me now. It's too late in life. You better get rid of that junk too. You better get rid of that and start believing God. Hallelujah. For your prosperity. But now we're going to kind of take a turn here and start talking about the foundations of prosperity. Notice in verse 4 it says, but let patience have her perfect work that you may be perfect. Now that word perfect there, don't let that trip you up, because none of us are. Okay? Do we have anyone to hear today who's perfect? Can we raise any hands, any perfect people? All right, we don't have to stone any liars. What that word perfect means, it means mature in Christ, to be mature. It says, but let patience have her perfect work that you may be spiritually mature and entire, lacking nothing. I'm just going to let that soak in for a second. Lacking nothing. What was at the root of lacking nothing? Patience. Patience. Misconception number one, that prosperity is a matter of money. Prosperity is not a matter of money. It's not a money issue. James is saying it's a patience issue. Patience is the byproduct of peace. Patience is referring to a person's spiritual maturity and their character.
Good.
Every time we want to talk to God about money, He wants to talk to us about character. Oh my goodness. We want to turn prosperity into a job issue, a paycheck issue, a savings account issue, a checking account issue, paying the bills issue, putting food on the table issue. God says, no, no, drop all those issues. My issue with prosperity, God says, He said, if we're going to talk prosperity, we got to talk about your heart.
Yeah. Amen.
We got to talk about your character. Oh, my goodness. Because God, here's what people think. They think that money produces peace. Money does not and cannot produce peace. Peace produces money. Come on now. See, people don't get that. They don't understand. God is telling you where to make your investment. The reason why our investments don't work is because we don't first invest into the peace and prosperity of God's Word. Show me a man who lacks patience, who lacks character, or who lacks peace, I'll show you a man who lacks true prosperity.
You're right.
No man who is ever truly prosperous out here must be first prosperous in here.
Amen.
And up here.
Good.
See, let's get to the foundations of prosperity, because we like to jump and shout when it says the blessing of the Lord makes rich. When God says rich is in honor of our hymn, you know, that Jesus became poor, that you would be made rich. We rejoice over the part of this verse that says that you may be whole, lacking nothing. Lacking no good thing. Yeah. But God says, let's talk about your patience. Let's talk about your character. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Notice he says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into different trials and temptations. Wouldn't you say that financial trials are included?
Oh, yes.
He says, when you fall into diverse or different kinds of trials. One of the main trials that we face in this life is financial trial. Little did we understand that those financial trials that we're facing today are actually setting up the patience that we need to prosper later.
Exactly right. Yes, yes, yes.
If we will pass the test. Your financial tests now will determine whether you qualify for future prosperity. Come on, get a hold of this. You think that your trials and your troubles right now financially are, you know, so many people, they are nearsighted. They're narrow, you know, they have narrow vision. And they think, oh my goodness, we're going through tough times right now. And all they can do is think of what it is right now, right now, right now. But we need to understand that those trials and those tests can build a patience that will ensure our future prosperity if we will learn what God wants us to learn. How do you pass the test? It tells us by the working of your faith. Right? The trial of your patience worketh your faith, right? The working of your faith. Make sure I get that right here. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience.
Yes.
How do you pass the test? You are constantly working your faith in the midst of that financial hardship.
Amen.
You're constantly saying, my God shall supply all my needs. You are constantly saying, I believe I receive my new job. I believe I receive my increase. I believe I receive the new vehicle I need. I believe I receive the school clothes I need. I believe I receive. Your job in the middle of financial hardship is to say, I believe I receive. Your job is the believing. God's job is the doing.
Amen, 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 amen.
So many times, you know why people have to keep going through the same financial struggles over and over? Because they never pass the test. If you would pass the test, you would graduate out of them. Yeah, you think right now, you think so negatively about that trial that you're going through right now. It's not an opportunity for you to go under financially. It's an opportunity for you to use your faith to work it out, to believe God.
That's right.
And say, no, God, you said that if I'd grow patient in the midst of this, if I would use my faith, then I will be whole, lacking nothing.
Right.
Hallelujah. But people thought it was a money issue. People thought it was a matter of just working more hours. They thought it was a matter of worry. Oh, no, no, no. Oh, no, no, no. The number one cause of poverty, are you ready? The number one cause of poverty is not the economy. The number one cause of poverty is not a lack of jobs. The number one cause of poverty is not a lack of money. The number one cause of poverty is fear. The number one cause of poverty is fear. The reason why people fail to prosper is because fear robs them of their spiritual maturity. Fear is like kryptonite to faith. Wherever there is fear, there cannot be faith. And if you are not working your faith, you do not qualify to be in that place of lacking nothing. Thank you for your enthusiasm. You're so excited about this. When we've come to the place where trials can no longer steal our peace, we will qualify for prosperity.
Good. Yes.
If a trial is stealing your peace, you don't qualify for prosperity. Yeah. If what someone else is doing, what someone else is saying about you, if you're worried about your kids, if you're worried about your job, If you're worried about something, you're always troubled in your heart, you don't qualify to prosper. Because God prospers on the basis of peace and patience, not on the basis of economy or jobs.
That's right.
Oh, hallelujah. I'm going to just, you know, be real straightforward and transparent. You know, my wife and I, we have a single income family. You know, it's just what I get paid at the church. I'm not disgruntled. I believe I'm fairly compensated, you know, at the church. But it would probably be equivalent. If I would have stayed a school teacher, I'd be getting paid about the same amount of money that I'm getting paid right now. And it's not what a lot of people would say would be a lucrative, prosperous kind of salary, so to speak. Now, I'm happy. You understand? You understand what I mean? But the world starts thinking of six figures and all that stuff of what has to be. But, you know, with a single income family and, you know, that my wife and I have, in the vehicles and all that stuff, we have zero debt.
Amen. Glory to God. That's right. That's right.
In the last 4 months, my wife and I have paid off $26,000 of debt. No inheritance came in. No gift was given. All it was God showing me I sold a couple of vehicles, got out of debt, paid them off, used the income tax return, paid off a personal loan, paid off all the credit cards. Everything is gone. Their vehicles are paid off. Hallelujah. And it's on a salary that probably half of you in here make more than I do. But yet you have less to show for it. And I'm not saying that critically or arrogantly. You understand my heart. It's not about the amount that's coming in. It's about the peace and the patience. Because worry and fear and fret and panic, they will steal your ability to think soberly about debt reduction, getting out of debt, getting to a place of peace and things like that. Oh, come on. If you're at the point where trials are still removing your peace, and you don't qualify to prosper. As soon as you're at the point where you don't fret, panic, let worry or fear in, now you qualify for God's patience, His endurance, and His prosperity. Amen. People don't have a money problem, they have a patience problem. They don't have a money problem, they have a character problem. They don't have a money problem, they have a fear or a worry problem. People have failed to see the connection between fear and poverty. It's the number one cause of poverty. Yeah, oh yeah. See, patience, let patience have her perfect work that you may be fully supplied.
That's right. Amen. That's right. Amen.
Patience is the number one attribute of God's love. What's the first characteristic of the love of God as mentioned in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is first patient. The will of God is the love of God. Let me say that again. God's will is His love. Let me say that again, because I got to get that into you. The will of God, no, I don't, I mean, if you shout, great. If you don't, just as long as you internalize this, get it down in here. God's will for your life, the number one will of God for a Christian is His love. To walk as He, to love as He loves. To treat people. The reason why so many people don't prosper is because they don't have any patience or love towards anyone else around them. Maybe they come to church and they put on the church smile. We're all dressed like churchy people today. And we show up and we do the church thing. It's easy to be here for a couple hours. You know what I mean? By the time you park your car, you show up early, you spend a few minutes after church, you're here for a couple hours. And sometimes I preach for a couple hours. But you know what? For a couple hours, you can be patient with anybody. But let's see how you treat those people at the restaurant you work at. Let's see how you treat those people at the school you attend or the mechanic garage that you work at, wherever you're at, let's see how you treat your family members. Let's see how you treat your spouse. Let's see how you handle those things. See, so many people don't realize that their relationships, their attitudes towards people are drying up God's ability to prosper them. Fear dries up prosperity. Bad attitudes dry up prosperity. A failure to walk in God's love dries up prosperity.
Good.
Hallelujah. The number one will of God for your life. Let me just make it real easy. To love.
Yeah.
To love. I'm not talking about being 18 years old and having some feelings in the flesh for some gal or something like that. I'm not talking about physical body love. I'm talking about benevolence. Patience, love, and kindness. Oh, my goodness. we were at dinner the other night with Dr. Dufresne, and oh, my goodness. I mean, bless this lady's darling heart, but my goodness, we had a waitress, and bless her heart again. Nothing critical, I'm just saying. It was about as bad of an attitude as you can get. And naturally in my flesh, that bugs me. I just don't see why somebody who is in the serving business would have that job and not think to at least have a good attitude. You know, when they drop the plate 4 inches over the table, one word answers, they get almost upset if you ask for another glass of water. I mean, this was the full deal, man, you know. And it was going south in a hurry. And if that waitress is visiting today, we love you. And but it was going on, you know. And naturally in my mind, the first thing I say in my mind is, wait until she sees her tip. Because guess who's paying the bill today? I am. We'll just see how this goes. Let's see how this works out for her. And all of a sudden I started thinking that way, and God smote me in my heart. Said, no, this is when you give more. I gave her above the 20%.
Oh, yeah. Amen.
That's absolutely right. That was the opportunity. Now, if we have any waitresses in here, when you see me in the restaurant, you'll be thinking, hey, I'm my opportunity to be rude. Yeah, absolutely. Bring it on. Why? Because it would have been retaliation to remove her tip. It was the love of God to give more. I had an opportunity to follow my head or to follow my heart. My head said, give her less. My heart said, give her more. Yeah. This is how people prosper. This is how you're patient, lacking nothing. The trial of your faith. Amen. Patience is the number one attribute of God. It's the number one attribute of His love. That's how God prospers. He prospers through patience. Hallelujah. Don't get too excited. Wouldn't want to have too much joy in this service. Number one foundation for prosperity, patience and peace. Here's the second foundation for prosperity. Look at verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom. Now notice in verse 4, he was talking about God's desire that we lack nothing. And in verse 5, you would think, okay, if any of you lack money, he didn't say that. He said, if you lack anything, it's because you lack wisdom. See, foundation number two to prosperity here, wisdom. Wisdom. Hallelujah. Wisdom is different than what you think it is. The world's idea of wisdom is to be crafty like an owl. That we get the picture of wisdom, you know, wise as an owl. And we think that because owls live longer and things like that, that age equals wisdom. No, it doesn't. Now, listen. There tends to be more wisdom with age, but that is not a rule. You're not wiser just because you're older. Because God's wisdom isn't just gained through experience.
Yeah, good.
It's gained through obedience. obedience is greater than experience. Obedience makes a man or woman wise. I know people that have been Christians for 40 years that do not obey God as much as I know some people that have been Christians for 2 years. All right? Okay? And please, if you're older, don't think I'm attacking, you know, older people. I'm just saying that age in of itself isn't wisdom.
Amen.
I'm in trouble. You understand what I'm saying. You understand, right? Because here's the definition of what wisdom is. It is the instruction of God. We think that wisdom just is knowing how to do things because we've been there before. But that's not God's definition of wisdom. The definition of wisdom, the wisdom of God, is whatever He's told you to do.
Yes. Amen.
All right?
Yes.
Either through one, the written word. The written word is the number one place for God's wisdom. The Bible is the wisdom of God for life on this earth.
Amen.
Okay? The second place that wisdom comes is God's spoken word to you personally. Our spirit, our heart, the reborn nature on the inside. When God speaks to us on the inside, that's His wisdom towards you for that particular situation.
Yes.
All right? I said I might mention tithing. What is God's wisdom for finances? Tithing. The first step of handling your finances the way God instructed you to is to tithe 10% to the house of God.
Yes.
That's not Family Church's idea. That's God's idea for all of His people, regardless what name is on the front door of their church. If they're Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterians, it don't matter. God's number one wisdom for finances is the first to tithe, right? All right? That's a written instruction that we're given in here. But how about spoken instruction to your heart personally? Have you ever just had the sense or the witness of God on the inside to bless somebody? What is that? That's God's wisdom for your finances. Or what if God speaks to your heart and tells you to serve in the nursery? That's God's wisdom to you. Wisdom produces God's wealth. Oh, no, I don't believe that. Can you go with me, please? Hold your place there. Actually, we'll just bring it up for the sake of time. Bring up Proverbs chapter 3. Start right around, I wasn't planning on going here. Start Proverbs chapter 3. In verse 13, and just read with me through several verses up here on our screen. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom and the man that getteth understanding. All right, let's roll. For the merchandise of wisdom is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain of wisdom is better than fine gold. Keep going. Wisdom is more precious than rubies, and all the things you can desire are not to be compared with wisdom. Verse 16. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand, riches and honor. Wisdom, or you could say it this way, in the left hand of God's instruction to you is riches and honor. What is the result of obedience? Prosperity. What is the result of you obeying the instruction of God? You lacking nothing. And if you lack, remember, go back to James 1:5. That's where you're at right now. James 1:5. He's talking about lacking nothing. He says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given to him. See, when we lack money, so many times we ask God for money. The Bible never tells us to ask God for money. You can't find one verse in the Old Testament or the New Testament where we're instructed to go to God and say, God, would you give me money, please? He says, tithe, and the windows of heaven shall be opened unto you. Give, and it shall be given unto you. See, when you start talking to God about money, He said, let's talk about your character.
That's it.
Let's talk about patience, and let's talk about wisdom.
Yes, yes, yes,
The first foundations of prosperity.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I'm being blessed. What did God tell you to do? Until you do that, you do not qualify to prosper. You don't qualify to prosper if you don't tithe when you know that you should. You don't qualify to prosper if you don't give offerings when you know that you should. You don't qualify to prosper if God told you to serve in the local church and you're not. Because God's wisdom is the instruction of God to you. Do I have $1 million in the bank? No, I don't. But am I prosperous? Yes, I am. Okay? And I don't mind telling you that. I'm not trying to boast about what I have because there's people in here that no doubt materially might have more than me. It's not about that.
Right.
But I'm prospering
yes. In
all areas of my life.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Don't ask God for money. Ask Him, Lord, what would you have me to do?
Yes.
Is there an instruction that I've missed, Lord? Have you told me to tithe and I won't, Lord? Have you told me to serve and clean or whatever to do and I won't? Have you told me to bless somebody and I won't? Look, don't look for why the money isn't there. Look for the instruction you failed to do. Look for the instruction. All right, go with me into the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Glory to God. Here's something that we got to get a hold of. Ecclesiastes is over there after Psalms and Proverbs. Hallelujah. We're going to go to Ecclesiastes, a.k.a. the preacher. Did you know that? The other name for the book of Ecclesiastes is called the preacher. That's deep, isn't it? Man, I'll tell you, that's so deep and heavy, you're going to remember that above all else here today. Come on, I'm trying to be funny. Give me a courtesy chuckle. Help me out, man. I was flying by myself on that one. Ecclesiastes 5:19, look at this. Every man also to whom God has given riches and wealth. I hear pages still turning. Ecclesiastes is that part of your Bible where the pages are still crunchy. I can hear the crunchy pages. You don't want to see Solomon up there in heaven and he asks you if you read his book. You say, oh, no, I didn't read your book. Ecclesiastes 5:19. I know, I really have the same old jokes, don't I? I need some new ones. Every man also to whom God has given riches and wealth. Does God give riches and wealth?
Yes,
He does, according to this verse. And has given him power to eat thereof. So notice, you can't just have wealth. You have to have power to enjoy it.
Yes, that's right.
This is where patience and wisdom comes in. If you're not a patient person, relationships in your life are going to suffer. And if your marriage is suffering, it doesn't matter how much money you have, you can't enjoy the money you have. Money is not enjoyable unless all the other parts of life are in order. That's what he's talking about here. Financial prosperity is the lowest form of God's prosperity. Why? Because it requires every other area of character and integrity and honesty. For example, if your kids aren't living right, it don't matter. You're not going to enjoy the money. If your marriage is suffering, you're not going to enjoy the money you have. If you're depressed all the time, you won't enjoy the money you have. If you're sick in body all the time, you won't enjoy the money you have. See, you can't just have wealth and wealth and riches. Hollywood has wealth and riches, but no power to enjoy it. See, that's what tithing is about. That's what giving is about. That's what patience is about. That's what wisdom is about, that you've submitted to the instruction of God, and God gives you what you really need, the power to enjoy what you have. People say, I got more money than you, Pastor Tim. Great, but do you have the power to enjoy what you do have? I know a lot of people that got way more money than me, but I'm enjoying what I have a lot more than what they're enjoying what they have. Come on now. Look at verse 20. For he shall not much remember the days of his life, because God answereth him in the joy of his heart. Can we bring verse 20 up in the Amplified Bible, please? Let me just help us get some understanding what this verse is talking to about. For he shall not much remember seriously the days of his life, because God himself answers and corresponds to the joy of his heart. The tranquility of God is mirrored in him. Notice the man could not enjoy his riches and wealth until he first had tranquility of God in his heart. The man could enjoy the wealth because he first had the peace of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So what is your pursuit then? Can we bring up Psalm 34, verse 14? I'll just move through these quickly. Simple instruction of the Word of God. Depart from evil. Hey, Church of the United States of America, depart from evil. You want to know why our economy is in the tank? Because the Church of America is not departing from evil. Just, how about this? I could have just saved this whole message today. I could say, all right, stop sinning, obey God, and you'll prosper. Stop doing evil, do good. God is so simple, I love it. Now look what he says, seek peace. And pursue it. It didn't say seek money and pursue money. Seek peace.
Yes.
Why? Because what does peace produce? Prosperity.
That's right.
When the man is tranquil in heart with God, then you can enjoy the wealth and the abundance that he brings to you. You getting something out of this?
Yes.
If you will invest into peace,
yes,
God will invest into you wealth. But we're feeding our minds with media garbage. We're worried about this, troubled by all the stuff that's going on. We're worried about some bill that came in. We're troubled because great aunt so-and-so said this. We saw some disturbing news. There's reports of layoffs down at the company or whatever. And people get troubled, and they get troubled. Peace is an insulator. Peace insulates and protects against a bad economy.
Yes, it does.
Peace protects wealth more than any bank. Peace will protect your investments more than any broker or financial institution. Your goal is not to chase money and hours paying the bills. Put your focus on peace, and it will produce for you. See, because these are the foundations of prosperity. You don't see this on Christian TV. Too often they say, just give to the Christian network, and God will bless you. Well, if those people don't have character, that's why you need a local church. And let's close here. Go with me to the New Testament, to the book of 3 John. All right? 3 John, not the Gospel of John, but Little John 3. There's Big John, which is the Gospel of John, and then there's Little John 1, 2, and 3. Go to Little John. Wasn't there a character named Little John? Robin Hood? Was he that drinking monk guy? Was that who that was? Or no, he was the oh, that was Friar Tuck, I'm sorry. Go to 3 John. I tell you what, these little things better not be what you remember about this message. 3 John, there's only one chapter there, verse 2. This is the Holy Spirit speaking to you and I in the New Testament. Yes. Beloved, how many of you are God's beloved?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Don't we say that all the time here? We're highly loved, highly blessed, highly favored. Why? Because we are.
Yes.
We're the beloved of the Lord, and we're supposed to confess that. He says, beloved, I wish above all things, everyone say above all things, that you may prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. That's the heart of God speaking to his Christians here. I desire above all things that you be healthy and wealthy.
That's right.
But notice the condition. Even as your soul prospers.
That's right.
Now let's do a little teaching here before we close. The word soul here is not talking about your reborn spirit. You understand that the Bible teaches there's a difference between soul and spirit.
Yes.
Your spirit is the part where God dwells. Your spirit is down here. It's the inside. It's the real you. It's recreated in the image of Christ. But then you also have a soul. The word soul here means your mind, your will, and your emotions. It's talking about this thing up here. Talking about, the 12 inches above your neck. Notice the conditions for health and prosperity. Even as your soul prospers. Or you can say it this way, even as your mind is renewed. You will only prosper in correlation to the renewing of your mind. If Bible meditation, if you're too good for it, if you're too busy for it, then you won't prosper the way God says you could. All right? If you don't feed on the Word of God, you don't come to church to hear the Word, you don't listen to the Word of God on CDs and stuff like that, if you're not constantly renewing your mind, you do not qualify for prosperity. Because the Bible says for us to be prosperous, it's in correlation is as how far our soul prospers. If you don't think right, I'll tell you what, people say all these prosperity churches and they're preaching the prosperity message. Well, whatever your definition of is of the prosperity message, yeah, there's a lot of goofy stuff going on out there that I sure don't want to be joined with. That they call the prosperity message. There's a message out there that's far out of balance, out of whack, and it's goofy, and we have nothing to do with that.
Right.
But this is the true prosperity message.
Yes. Amen.
Because what's the alternative? The poverty message? Should we be a poverty church? No, we'll be a prosperity church. God's way.
Yes.
Through patience, peace, wisdom, character, and integrity.
Yes.
Obedience. All right? The things that God cares about. Any church that is a prosperity church is a church that teaches the uncompromised word. Because where minds are being renewed, people will prosper. And I look at this congregation and over the last 7 years and all the stories and things of how God has blessed your life. What is that? Is it because of me? No. It's because of the word of God. You've renewed your mind to the word, and you prosper. No man ever truly prospered without getting this thing right.
That's right. Amen. Amen.
People are jeopardizing their ability to prosper by overfeeding their mind on media, movies, entertainment, and they're not renewing their mind to the word. They're filled with worry in their mind. Worry is the enemy to prosperity. Never forget it. Did you get any help here today? Yep. Beloved, I wish above all things that you will prosper and be in health, even as your mind is renewed.
Yes.
You come to church once a month?
Come on.
You don't qualify.
That's right.
This is about people who are serious and they're dedicated to renewing their minds.
Right.
Hearing the word. What does it say over there? What is it? Romans chapter 12. It says, be not conformed, verse 2, be not conformed to the image of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 4, right around the 23rd verse, he says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind.
That's right.
Right? Proverbs says, as a man thinks, so is he.
That's right.
Right?
Yes.
You're going to have to learn how to deal with the thought life.
Yes.
Deal with the thought life. If you don't win the internal conversation,
yes.
If you don't win the internal conversation, you won't prosper.
Good. That's right.
Glory to God.
Glory to God.
Let's pray.